For the last couple of weeks, we've been saturating ourselves and immersing ourselves in the Word of God, understanding what discipleship looks like. Because when we decided to embrace our new mission statement, which is reflected in the front of your bulletin and every communications that we send out, whether it's a newsletter or bulletin or in the website, we want to communicate to the whole community and beyond what we believe, what we understood, what God wants us to be. And we said that our mission as the body of Christ here at Plank Chapel is to make disciples of Jesus Christ. Not to make members, though they are very important in the life of the church. It will bring us to a healthier congregation, I would say. But the ultimate and most important purpose for our being as a church is to make disciples of Jesus Christ. And so for the last couple of weeks, we've been understanding the scripture or immersing ourselves in God's word to understand what does a disciple look like? What makes someone a disciple? How can we be a disciple? What are the biblical principles of being a disciple? And so today, we're going to immerse ourselves in this Paul's writing to the church in Galatia, where he talks about the fruit of the Spirit. I'm sure some of you have heard the fruit of the Spirit before. When you're growing up in a church or attending Vacation Bible School or Sunday School classes, I think they also made a lot of different music out from the fruit of the Spirit. And so Paul is writing this to the community of Christians in Galatia that are somehow veering away and away from the will of God. In fact, his point here is that for us, for Paul, Christians should be marked by all this fruit of the Spirit. And same true with us today. So as we enter into God's word this morning, let us prepare our hearts as we pray. Thank you, God, for this blessing of beautiful gathering of the body of Christ. We thank you that you have intersected our lives together in this holy and sacred ground, whether it's in person or online. Speak to us again, Lord, your solemn words. Help me be out of your way. And may the words of my mouth, the meditations in our hearts, be truly acceptable in your sight. You, the rock and our redeemer. Amen. When I first came to America, probably more than 27 years ago, one of the first places I visited was an apple orchard. There was some kind of fascination in me to see how apples are being made. Growing up, we didn't have any apple orchard back home. We mostly raised bananas and coconuts. But apple is something that is purely fascinating to me, to see how it's being prepared, how it's being cared for, how it's being picked up, how it's being tendered, and, you know, all these kind of basic requirements of growing an apple orchard. So during that time, we're told about the various aspects of the orchard, from picking fruit to basically caring for the tree. There was one story. Upon one season, this helper was helping to spray all the trees from insects to ensure that the apple orchard would not be infested when harvest time came. So the work of the spraying the trees went well, according to the story that I read. But there was one small section of about 10 trees that was somehow missed during the work. And no one noticed until it was time for fruit to develop on the trees. And so the fruit developed things that looked good, with the fruit growing large. But as it was ready to be harvested, it became very apparent that the fruits that were not able to be sprayed, you know, that were not able to be cared for, eventually were infested by bugs. So those 10 trees, according to the story, were able to produce fruits. But it was none that is fit to eat because of the infestation. I think that story speaks a lot about our Christian life with Christ. We are meant to be fruitful. We're meant to bear fruits. But far too often we become infested. This infestation begins to change our behaviors, our lifestyles, our priorities, our attitudes, and the way we respond to the circumstances in life. In other words, this sin of infestation destroys the spiritual fruit that is in us, that God had given to us. And this fruit that we produce eventually becomes filled with all different kinds of bad stuff. We begin to become more uncontrolling about anger, the way we control our, the way we speak. We begin to say bad words, and we begin to treat our spouses not in a Christ-like manner. We begin to have the habits of that are not really in accordance with God. We become self-centered. It's all about me. It's all about what we want. And all different attitudes and behaviors that are opposed or not in accordance to the will of God. And this was the same situation that the community in Galatia are dealing with. And Apostle Paul is coming in there with a strong message, very strong instruction, if you would say, hey folks, you are not living the way God wants you to live. You're not producing the fruits of the Spirit. You're being infected and infested that is destroying the very core of who you are as people of God. In other words, Paul is trying to tell you, got to turn around. So he's telling them, you got to make a choice. Are you living by the flesh or are you living by the Spirit? And somehow Paul is trying to say to us now, 2,000 years after this book was written, how can we produce the fruit of the Spirit in our lives today? So Paul here offers us three important things that I want to share with us this morning, which I believe is the same message that he tried to say to the Galatian church. First, you got to live by the Spirit. Can you say that with me, church? Live by the Spirit. Let's go back again to the text. It began by actually saying, live by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature. I don't know about you all, but every day we wake up, we are constantly in a battle between the flesh and the Spirit. Amen? There's always a battle between the right and the bad, between the good things and bad stuff. Lord, do I make the right decision this morning to follow your will, or shall I follow what I want? Every time we are in constant battle. In the way we make our choices, in the way we make our decisions about our families, our priorities, where we go, which place to visit, which decision we have to make for our children and our grandchildren, the decision we make for our own. Every day is a constant battle between the flesh and the spirit. And that's exactly what Paul is trying to tell the church in Galatia. You are battling every day about the flesh and the spirit. Are you living by the flesh or are you living by the spirit? If you live by the flesh, then this is what's going to happen to your life. You will mess up your life. You will experience things that are not in accordance to the kingdom of God. But if you are living by the Spirit, then here's the evidence of that. See, it's very important here when Paul used the word live by the Spirit, he's sort of kind of emphasizing the role of the Spirit here. The Spirit that gives power to transform lives. The Spirit that changes us from inside out. I've been reminded of that image of the metamorphosis of a larva becoming a chrysalis. You remember your biology class? How many of you remember? I love biology. From larva, it becomes a chrysalis. And eventually, that chrysalis becomes what? A butterfly. See, that's how the Spirit is at work in and through us. They go through what you call a metamorphosis or a transformation of the Spirit. The transformation of our lives. The transformations of our attitudes and behaviors. The Spirit is the one that gives us that. It also guides us. It directs us. It made us who God wants us to be. And this is beyond our own efforts. It is beyond our capacity. How many of you have fence around your home? Okay. So some of you have fence around your home with a gate for entering and leaving, right? You know, spiritually, our lives are like a gate. Inside our lives are all sort of things that are wrong and are unpleasing to God. And we need to let these things out and allow the Holy Spirit to come in and control the very center of our lives. But we do not have the power even to open the gate. Only the Holy Spirit can do that. Only the Holy Spirit has the power to open the gate as we yield to the Spirit and look to the Spirit for full surrender. It is the Spirit that controls the gate. It is the Spirit that purges the heart of its wickedness to bring in new attitudes, new passions, new devotion, new hope, new change in our lives. The Spirit also strengthened the gate with bars that keeps the enemy or those bad stuff, or evil, all kinds of self-centeredness to get in. Think about those moments in your life when God placed gates that protects you from thinking bad things. You could have done this thing, but you decided to do these things because the Holy Spirit guided you. Think about those moments when you almost on the tempting to follow your own flesh, follow your own desire, and somehow the Spirit becomes the gate that purges your thoughts, purges your understanding, and you begin to align yourselves into the will of God. And so the Spirit here kicks out the flesh in us and invites the fruit of Spirit to come in. But that leads us to the second point. Because we are called to live by the Spirit, Paul never stopped there. And he wants us to connect with the vine. Say that with me, church. Connect with the vine. You know, John chapter 15, Jesus compares our relationship with Jesus as like branches connecting to the vine. Remember the text, abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, so neither can you unless you abide in me. This means that we are to have the closest, most intimate relationship with Jesus, with nothing should come between us. Think about those times where there are things that come between us and God. I don't think I can come to church today. I got different things. I got to do this, I got to do that. We got sort of a lot of reasons for not coming to church. We got a lot of different reasons for not engaging in becoming the hands and feet of Christ. We got a lot of reasons for not giving financially to the church. You know, last week we talked about in the finance team, the current situation of our church. And how we can continue on to increase the culture of generosity. And I was emphasizing, when you join the church, you're not just joining the church with your presence, with your gifts, with your service. You're joining with pocketbooks. That's part of the package. That's part of the commitment. When we became member of Blank Chapel Church, we said, we're going to commit to grow this church by giving of our tithes and offering. Not to pay the bills, but as an expression of our worship to God. See, connecting to vine is very important because it gives us a kind of a check and balance. When we are connected to the vine, we are being pruned, we are being shaped, we're being chiseled, we're being, you know, God is also nudging us and calling us attention if we're veering away. It's like a sap in a vine. It flows in and through us, producing the fruit to nourish us, to guide us, and to call our attention when we're straying away. You know, the first time that Judy and I landed here in the United States, and we can attest this, we love the beautiful trees of North Carolina. There's nothing that will replace the trees of North Carolina as compared to other states. In the autumn, most leaves drop off and are blown away. But thousands of the old dead leaves cling to the branches even in March and April. You notice that? However, when the sap in the trees begin to flow, a new leaves are being formed. And life and power pulsate and surge through every living branch. And then all of the old tree dry leaves fall off, and they are unnoticed. See, church, as we connected ourselves with the vine, who is Jesus Christ, and have this dependent relationship with God through the power of the Holy Spirit, we begin to bear the fruits of the Spirit. That doesn't mean that we are instantly being changed all at once. It takes time, just like a tree, to mature, to produce through feeding and through pruning and through spraying at proper times. And we begin to have this infestation be wiped out in our system, in the way we speak, the way we behave, the way we respond. As we connect ourselves with the vine, we have this abiding relationship with God that somehow calls us to examine our own behavior, discern what is right and what is wrong, so that we can get closer and closer with God. And that leads me to the final point that Apostle Paul tried to bring to the Galatian community, and how we can produce the fruit of the Spirit in our lives. And that is to be crucified with Christ. Can you say that with me? Be crucified with Christ. There was a story of this man who glanced at an obituary column. How many of you always whenever you go to newspaper, you check on the obituary. One of my churches that I serve, we got one member there that every time he goes to buy a newspaper, the first thing he reads is the obituary. And there are people that are really engrossed with that, right? So this man was glancing, an obituary called him in the local newspaper one day, and to his surprise, he saw his own name. Indicated that he had just died. Can you imagine if that was you? At first he laughed about it, but soon the telephone began to ring. Friends are calling him from all around. Relatives are calling him and inquiring if he's alive and offered their sympathy. And finally, out of irritation, he called the newspaper editor. He drove straight to the newspaper in downtown place and angrily reported that even though he had been reported dead in the obituary column, he was very, very much alive. And the editor was very apologetic and embarrassed. He said, I'm sorry, don't worry, sir. I will make it all right. For tomorrow, I will put your name in the birth columns. This may sound a humorous incident, but it's actually a spiritual parable. Not until we have allowed ourselves to be crucified in Christ that we can be our own new selves and be emerged as a marvelous fruit that's really edible, fruit that is healthy, fruit that is the characteristic of the life that is in Christ, the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Billy Graham once said, the kind of person that God wants us to be can never be produced through human effort. But when the Holy Spirit fills us, here's what he said, but when the Holy Spirit fills us, he brings forth his fruit in people who manifest a growing likeness to Christ. End of quote. Friends, as we bring this message to a close, what kind of fruit that you produce in your life today? Are you exhibiting the fruit of the Spirit? Or is it the flesh? Are you producing this fruit on your own? Or are you dependent and living by the Spirit? Are you connecting yourselves with the vine? And are you willing to always be crucified with Christ so that he can bring the fruits that will manifest a growing likeness in him and through him? As we go forth in this place this morning, may we examine and re-examine our lives again. May we be the evidence of the fruit of the Spirit. Not just today, not just in words, but most importantly in deeds. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and all the people of God said, amen.